I'll just put my hand out. While you wait to perfect your app or your product or your service, someone else offers up an inferior product, an inferior service, an inferior app with bugs all built in and take the market. Whether it's that app isn't ready, the bugs aren't all worked out, one person doesn't like your product yet, the script needs more work, or blah, 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 blah. Dude, even my blah, blah is not perfect. People usually come up with some excuse. This is why people are so scared of public speaking, or of making a video, or being recorded, or a live interview. What am I going to say when I get there? It won't matter, bro. It won't matter what you say when you get there, because the only thing that's going to matter once you're there is what you say when you're there. And you can't figure that out until you get there. I mean, I guess you could practice. They want to get it so right, they quit trying completely. I just want to get it done and get it out. See, me, I want to get it done and get it out. I want to get it done and get it out. I want to get it done and I want to get it out. You understand? I want to get it done and I want to get it out. I'm obsessed with frequency. I'm obsessed with push, not perfection. I'm not trying to be perfect. I let God be perfect. The marketplace is going to require, regardless of what you do, will require your product or service or brand, whatever, your movie, your song, it's got to be updated and changed constantly anyway, whether it's a coffee maker, sales training, or the next smartphone, or whatever, a business card. That's the market, and it will demand you to stay in the game and will reward only those who continue to change, improve, and make better. It does not reward perfect. It never has. It never will. The list of people that I have read today are not perfect people. The trick is to keep moving forward, to keep persisting, to keep innovating, to keep being obsessed, a maniac, if you will. The marketplace is the only place where you can develop the genius in you and the genius of your product. That big, bad, emotionless economy pays only those who persist in the midst of it. The marketplace does not pay for the perfect product. It pays for those who persist the longest. No one gets everything right the first time. The truth is, most companies never get it right ever at all. Releasing something you're obsessed with, even when you're not sure if it's ready, is better than releasing it when everything is right. That day may never come. And even if that day comes, progress means you're now behind the ball again. My first 12 sales programs, all best-selling programs, millions and millions of copies sold. My first two books were self-published, okay? My first 12 programs were self-published. My first two books were self-published. I didn't wait for a publisher to give me the big stamp of approval that Penguin Random gave me. Grant, you are now a New York Times best-selling author. We approve you, Grant, with the Penguin Random stamp. I've heard so much criticism. Hey, you're a self-published guy. Yeah, so what, bro? Look, the bank don't know. The bank doesn't know. I took all that money. I bought 4,000 apartments. The apartment people don't know. Okay, yes, there was grammar problems in the first book. Yes, there was hundreds of misspellings. Yes, we had run-on sentences. While you're writing the perfect book, I'm writing a book and selling it. See, by the time I sold out the first four editions of my first book, all the stuff had been fixed, the cover and the title had been changed, and it had won a best sales business book of all time called Seller Be Sold. Meanwhile, those people who criticized my books, oh, by the way, who had never written a book, isn't it interesting? The people that don't write criticize the people that do. The people that don't make money criticize the people that have done whatever it takes to make money. The people that sit in the audience criticize the guy on the stage. The people in the stands criticize the players on the field. Look, it doesn't mean, when I say don't be perfect, it doesn't mean that I want you to be sloppy. I don't think anybody intentionally wants to be sloppy. I think we probably got something wired in us not to be sloppy. But I do need to be willing to get to the marketplace quickly and fast. Speed is the new big. You're not going to get it right anyway. You won't get it right the first time, probably won't get it right the second time, probably not the third time, so persist. And by the way, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time, by the time you change something, again, things are going to progress anyway, so you're going to have to change it an eighth and ninth time anyway. Sometimes it takes a while to discover the best approach to whatever you're doing or what people really want. And only by doing it over and over and over again, frequency, quantity, and frequency seem to grow the genius. I don't know why. Quantity, not quality. Quantity. And frequency. lots of quantity, width, and lots of frequency over and over, bang, 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 seem to grow the genius in the individual and the department and the company. Even after thousands of times of doing something, you will still be changing how you do it. So why look for the perfect solution? The more you do something, the more you understand it, and the more you will discover how you can do it better. I'll give you a perfect example. My overnight success that everybody says, oh man, that Grant Cardone out of nowhere, man, that dude, man, that guy, overnight success. Yeah, let me tell you about my overnight success as I get angry. Okay. 150,000 social media posts, 78,000 tweets. I'm sorry, 96,000. When I wrote this copy, it was 78,000. Now it's 96,000. Just to show you how much frequency we're talking about. 13,000 speaking engagements, 1,100 articles, 700 interviews, thousands of live streams, 3 million flight miles. That's before I bought 10X. Who knows how many cold calls? All that cumulative trial and error led me to explode into overnight success. Overnight, because you didn't know me until yesterday. It's overnight for you, man. It's 12 programs, 7 books, thousands, tens of thousands of unpaid speaking engagements. Who knows how many interviews on radio and TV? You see, the point is what? You want to get great? You want people to know you? Look, let's say you had the perfect idea and the perfect product. You delivered it to one person the first time. Nobody's going to know you. Without the frequency of delivery, it will not matter anyway, because the only way to get to quantities of people, true greatness will come through quantities of people. It is better to fall facing forward than to never try at all, because you want the first attempt to be perfect, which won't happen anyway. It just can't happen. So the next time you say perfectionist, remember, that's not what it is. Okay? It is not a perfectionist. You are not a perfectionist. You are a liar. Persist is what you need to do. Persist, and one day you will be perfect. Maybe, maybe not. Most likely not. Persist, and one day you won't be perfect, but you will, if you persist, be a genius. Then persist some more, and you'll find out that what you thought was perfect back then was a joke compared to what you could do. Obsession is a cycle. Persist on it. Look, there's no excuse for not persisting. There's no excuse for not persisting. You can blame it on mommy, daddy, blame it on your kids. You can, my marriage, man, my girl, I got to spend more time. Dude, there is no excuse for not persisting. Dogged determination, persistence, lion-like, jungle fever, persistence in the face of setbacks, challenges, crybabies, quitters, disappointments, mistakes, distractions, crises, and petty bullshit is part of the game for everyone. Please don't blame it on your 6-year-old. Please don't blame it on your damn marriage. Your marriage has been bad for a long time. Your business is not the problem. Your problem is you haven't been obsessed with your marriage and your business and your kids and your own physical condition. You feeling what I'm putting out right here? Now, we getting to the end of this thing, so I'm going to have to drop a hammer on you. I'm about to drop the hammer. You ready for the drop? I'm going to drop it. I've been waiting to drop this now 11 chapters. Hey, quit feeling sorry for yourself. It's selfish. It's self-centered. And quit complaining. Quit acting like a little bitch. Act like the boss. Get control of your life, okay? Quit blaming your health condition. Quit blaming your age. Quit blaming your sick parents. Quit blaming your little kid. Quit blaming your marriage. Quit blaming your employees, the economy, and the politicians. Heaven forbid you blame a politician. You've known your entire life politicians were worthless. Look, persistence is the characteristic of legends. Do you want to be one or not? Persistence is the single characteristics of the greats. Are you gonna be one or not? Persistence is the single only common characteristic of the genius. You know, the ones they used to call crazy. Do you want to be known as a genius or not? If not, now would be the time to close the book. Pass it on to somebody else that does want to be considered a genius, a titan, a king, a phenomenal person, a legend, a myth. and just close the door on this obsessed thing. Be obsessed or be average. It's your call, okay? If you're not willing to go all out crazy insane in every area of your life, because if you don't, that means you quit on four areas and excelled in one. We don't know that cat's name. Most of us do not know that person that had one part of their life and the rest of it was a disaster. I guess we do. I mean, I guess there's some people like that, right? Like who? Hitler. Yeah, we know him. Dude persisted. Then he committed suicide. What a coward. How do you quit? And there's probably no heaven or hell. He probably had to start over again the next day. Big trick on him. Look, when you persist long after others quit, regardless of the outcome, your power, your confidence, your creativity, your leadership, your genius will light up. It will automatically light up. I'm telling you, I get more brilliant the more I commit, the more I recommit, and the more the universe, nature, whatever you call it, knows that, dude, this cat ain't quitting. You know, as a young man in high school, I got beat up a lot because I have a big mouth. Everybody told me, you need to keep your mouth shut. I'm like, dude, this is how I'm going to make a living. I can't keep it shut. I got to practice using it now. Boom, I get cracked again. Boom, I get cracked again. Every Friday, Saturday night, I'd go out. I get beat up twice a week. I just keep getting up, man. You know, one day I realized, I said, you know what, dude, if I get up like this, I just keep getting up no matter how much I get beat up. People will quit beating me up because they think I'm crazy. And they did. They quit beating me up because they got tired of beating me up. And they started thinking, dude, this guy's cray-cray. Look, you just can't quit. You have to be the crazy. You got to be the crazy. All the greats are the crazies. Okay? I mean, you just start snapping names off. You think of somebody great. Whoever it was right there, guaranteed they were crazy. Somebody said they were crazy. Think of another name. You got it? Crazy man. Okay? Come on. Come on. Go with another. Pick a woman now. Pick a woman. Pick a woman. You got it? You got it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She whacked out of her damn mind. In the face of these difficulties, learn how to be strong and resilient. Build the muscle. This is essential. Every time you persist, every time you have a persist, despite the odds, you have another story to tell, a story of who you are, someone who is a little closer to their full potential. When you're in the trenches, remind yourself of how valuable and precious these stories will be in the future. The woman I'm married to, I called for 2 years. Okay, I just refuse not to. You know how much I use that today? Not only do I have this unbelievable wife and two beautiful kids, I got the story, baby. I use it on customers today. I use it to get tickets. I use it to get places I want to go to that are sold out that they don't have tickets to. I'm like, yeah, call them one more time. See, in the movies, no one wants to fight the guy who keeps coming back and can't get hurt, can't get killed. He's just too crazy. It's just too much of a risk. Look, how much success you have planned for you in the future may very well be determined by this one single thing. How much can you persist? Chapter 13. They tried to get me to skip this chapter. Said it's bad luck. So I called it Obsession Forever. Look, buying a jet was something I never dreamed I'd do. Okay, I only started thinking about it 4 or 5 years ago. When I'm young and broke, I'm growing up in Louisiana, middle class, being told, be grateful you got a bike. Be grateful you got clothes on your back and you get 3 meals. Be grateful for all that you got because you got it better than I do. I never dreamed of having my own damn jet, get on it. 2 pilots I know them by first name, know their families, get on my clothes, are on board. But after writing the 10X rule, something changed in that book for me. Okay, now, I don't know if you know this, but I write books to solve my own problems. I do not write books to solve other people's problems. I write books to solve my problems, knowing that if I solve my problems, other people probably have the same problems I have. I've always wanted more. I've always been like, man, I want to get rich one day. I want people to know me. I want to walk in the airport and go, hey, Grant, how you doing? I want people to know who I am. Maybe you don't. What'd you quit on? Why you want to quit on yourself? You trying to make sense of not being famous? Come on. You got that figured out? Yeah, I don't need all that. I don't want people knowing what I'm flying under the radar. What'd you quit on? The 10X rule, for some reason, unleashed some think. 10X rule was about, it's a multiplier. Most people that read the book don't even get it. They're like, dude, 10X, 10X, 10X. Yeah, but what is 10X? 10X is 100. 10X, 10X is a multiplier. It's 100. It's an expansion. The 10X rule opened me up to possibilities. I was trying to figure out If my purpose was in line with my potential, and if I was really doing everything in my power to reach my full potential or my obsessions, I think we've buried or pushed down our obsessions so deep, okay, that when anybody talks about, dude, I want to be a superstar, I want to be a celebrity, I want to be famous, I want to be rich, I want to be in movies, I want to be on billboards, I want to be on buses, right? I want to have the perfect marriage, I want to be able to do what I want when I want some of that F you money, dog. I want to do what I want, when I want, how I want, with who I want. I want to say it the way I want. I want to be social protocol. I want Kanye to talk about me in one of his songs. You know? I don't know. I think to think less than that means you gave up. So look, here I am. I'm looking at my life. I'm looking at my business. I'm like, what do I got to do to blow it up to the full obsession? In doing so, I compared my almost endless list of expenses it took to run my businesses with what I needed to do to achieve my purpose. I was flying all over North and South America. By the way, when I talk about expenditures, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time, energy, resources, people knowing me. So here I am. I'm flying all over North and South America, speaking and working. That costs money and a lot of time. And it took away from my family. I'm paying American Airlines and Delta and I'm sitting around. I'm wasting time. I'm complaining all the time. I turn it into a little terrible. Okay. I was griping, complaining, tired, beat up, angry. Then I started looking at, dude, what am I complaining about? The problem is always the opportunity. I was complaining about American, Delta, US Air, whoever, whatever airlines, Lufthansa, South American Air, Kiwi Air. I'm like, hey, my wife says to me, my wife is brilliant. She's that brilliant, magical person. No effort, just magic, okay? She's like, why don't you buy a jet? I'm like, oh man, come on. That's just not real. The jet would give me greater control over my schedule. It would ultimately put me in a position to be where I want, when I want, with who I want, how I want to be. I'm like, oh no, I can't do that. I can't do that. That's ridiculous. My accountant did the math on it. You know, accountants, they're historians. They don't make money. They're not entrepreneurs. The guy does the math on it. I mean, if you want somebody to tell you no on a jet, go to your accountant. Okay. And no matter how many times me and him went over it, the only reason I gave it to him is I couldn't make sense of it. No matter how many times I went over it, the jet did not pencil out. Now, what's my point of this story? How do you make sense of something that doesn't make sense? Because your entire career, your success will be determined by your ability to make sense of things that don't make sense. In my research, everyone told me the idea of buying your own jet so you could put your brand on the back of it, your clothes inside of it, okay? Everyone told me it does not make sense. The idea is ridiculous, except for two people who both financially were more successful than anyone else that I talked to. The only two people told me to buy a jet, guess what? Were the richest two people I talked to. I like that little laugh I got. It's a sick laugh when I get on the plane. I'm like, this is mine. One of them told me, look, man, it's the best investment I ever made and I can't make sense of it. I'm like, what, dude? He's like, it is the best investment I have ever made and I still can't make sense of it. No matter how many times you run the numbers, my brother G, you will not be able to make sense of it. The other guy tells me it is the single best three things I ever bought. I said, what do you mean three things? I own three of them. I'm like, man, that's freaking unreal, dude. Come on. Are you serious? Which one do you use? He's like, yep. When we go on a trip, I'm like, which one today? Okay. Now let me just tell you about both of these people. Both these people are extremely conservative with their money. Okay. They're not show offs like me. They're not videoing themselves on trips. Both these guys, both billionaires. Best investment I ever made. Best three things I've ever bought. Okay. One of them told me, hey, if I lost everything, I would not get rid of the plane. It'd be the last thing I'd give up. So what did I do? Okay. Am I going to lease this thing? Am I going to buy this thing? Am I going to do this thing? This is crazy. Why are the rich people telling me to do it and the poor people, the average people, the people that haven't done it telling me not to? Why is the accountant saying it doesn't make sense and the rich guy with the money saying it does? In the end, I bought a mid-sized jet. First plane I ever bought was a mid-sized jet. I'm not telling you this to brag. I'm telling you this to make a point, to expand your thinking. I bought a Gulfstream G200. I had 10X painted on the tail. 365GC is the registration number. N, don't use that N word. 365GC Golf Charlie or Grant Cardone. 365 means what? I'm being me 365 times a year. Finally, it took me 58 years to finally say, I'm going to be me. First week I owned 10X Airlines. I visited four customers in four different cities in one day and was back with Sabrina and Scarlett and my wife that night. Not one person in my space can possibly do that with their customers. Nobody. Nobody in my space has committed in the space that I work with, where I go into companies and help companies increase sales. Nobody in my space, nobody that I play with, compete with, can do that. I don't call a charter company and get it booked into a schedule and need 24. I call my pilot up. Hey, this morning, bro, 5 a.m., let's roll. Where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. Call the pilots, off we go. And as Elena reminded me, it doesn't need to make financial sense if it makes your life mission possible. Grant, what's money for? And how do you get more money? You get more money by using money. It takes courage to make money. It takes courage to become a celebrity. It takes courage to stay a celebrity. It takes courage to get success. It takes courage to write a movie, write a book, sell a movie, sell a book. It takes courage to get investors. It doesn't take money. That bird gets you to the money. Okay? This is limited, obsessed thinking that a lot of people have. They want to be obsessed only on the weekends when they're drinking. Or they want to be obsessed only in one area of their life. I'm just going to be a good businessman, but I'm not going to be obsessed as a father, a husband. You see, you got to buy time. Whatever you have to do to keep your purposes burning hot, do it. In my case, at 51, 52, 53 years old, I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going to get on another American airline. Okay. So I was willing to trade money so that I could keep my purpose burning hot. You understand? The jet, the money that it cost to buy that allowed me to live out my obsession, to be who I really want to be. So the moment you get so tied up in the money that you will no longer use money to fuel your obsession, you lose. Whatever you have to do to keep your purpose burning hot, you do it. Borrow money, okay? Use money. If it requires money, so be it. If you're truly obsessed, it will be worth it because you will get the results. You know, the secret to sustaining the obsession is a straightforward one. Focus your efforts on everything that will fuel you for the long run and ignore, eliminate, and block out anything that drains you or causes you doubt. Take responsibility for what you pay attention to. And remember that what and whom you pay attention to is worth more than what you spend your money on. Money, power, fame, success, all of them follow attention. So what gets the most attention is what will grow. The problem with these things is money, power, fame, and success, even time off, family, love, is they require attention. Okay. Power and fame and money and success. They're like jealous lovers. They need constant attention or they're going to leave you. The customers you have today, if you don't keep giving them attention, they're going to leave you. These things are worth investing your time into cultivating. But remember, time is the only truly non-renewable resource that you and I have. You can't do that minute again. You can think about it, but you can't do it again. How you invest and use time or even multiply time, even if you could become obsessed with the concept of expanding time, how would I do that? How would I buy time? How you invest your time is more important than how you invest your money. But most people spend all their time talking about how they're going to invest money rather than how they're going to invest their time. I don't want to spend that because it's going to go to zero. This will go to zero. In my lifetime, that plane will be worth zero. But I can never get my time back. Do you understand? See, what are you obsessed with? Are you obsessed with the next thing? Or are you obsessed with the old money that you have? And this is what I had to confront. For me, this was the next big confront for me. This is why refueling is a major hack for those obsessed with success. Sustain your efforts by knowing how to get re-energized, re-excited. How do you stay energized and excited? How do you stay jacked at higher levels all the time? I'm not looking for a state change for a weekend. I want a state change for a life that keeps changing my state, my condition, so that I'm in different levels of power over and over and over again. How do I keep gunning and running at full steam? How do I stay young and vibrant, excited? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what success is? Isn't that worth being obsessed with? Always raise and refuel your obsessions, baby. It's about altitude. Fire needs wood, a car needs gas, a computer needs electricity, and that bird right there needs pilots, navigation, and thousands of pounds of fuel. Your obsessions must be constantly fueled, just like that plane, a car, a tractor, computer, you name it. The ultimate fuel to help you stay obsessed with your obsession is your maturing and changing purposes throughout your life. Maybe you're just about the money at one point in your life. Well, good. Get that right then. Get it right and stack that paper tall. Or maybe you don't care about money anymore. You just want to help people. Well, then get that right and help a lot of people. Maybe you want to do it for self-esteem or respect or celebrity. Then accomplish that in a big way. Or you could decide maybe you want to feed all of them. You're like me. You're like, dude, I want it all, man. Don't tell anybody, but I want it all. Or maybe you're like me. Tell everybody I want it all. See, that's me. I want to give you permission to want it all. Why should you settle? What God would want a human being to settle? Being obsessed with your sense of purpose across every part of your life will allow you to accomplish all the things you desire. I think most people are not accomplishing what they want in one area of life because they quit on all the other ones. If you quit on all the other ones, how are you going to get this one to run? Remember, when clarifying what you should be obsessed with, we talked about this early on. Remember, when you're clarifying what you must and should be obsessed with, what's worthy of your obsessive energy, the following should be true. Number one, it should improve the outcome of your life and other people's lives. If other people are losing, you're not going to keep doing this deal. You're too good a person. If it improves the outcome of my life, my kid's life, my wife's life, Robert's life, and other people around me, my customers, I'm going to want to keep doing that. Number two, if it moves you to reveal more of your potential, okay? The jet, hey, man, I get to see more people. Whatever skill, whatever thing you're throwing yourself into, if it opens your eyelids up to that next thing you could do, that next book, that next skill, that next development, this opens you up. What is your potential? See, that's a powerful question to keep in front of you because it inspires more questions. Like if you ask yourself, what is my full potential? You went from being broke to a millionaire, to a decamillionaire, to a hectamillionaire, to a billionaire. You went from being single to married. You went from working for somebody else to working for yourself, okay? You went from working in a network marketing company to owning one. Now ask yourself this question. Have you reached your full potential? What is your full potential? How much are you capable of? What do I need to do to fulfill my full potential? What would it mean if I actually hit the upper levels beyond what I had imagined possible? See, continuing to reach toward your full potential is the fuel that will allow you to avoid getting lost, avoid getting complacent, and avoid getting satisfied and dying prematurely. Most people talk about the age at which they die at. I'm like, dude, if you didn't accomplish anything, it didn't matter. I don't want to die prematurely. I want to live on. I can do that through my work. You can do that through your inventions. Some other great questions you might want to ask yourself to keep the obsession alive is, who are you doing this for? How many people will benefit from this? See, if it's just a small little two people, I just want to help these two people. Well, dude, you don't think you'd be more excited if you helped 2 million people? And quit being so damn selfish. If you could help 2 million people, why would you only want to help two? What's going to keep me fueled up to do more? See, if you're going to help 2 million people or 2 billion people, you got to stay fueled. What if anything were possible? What if what you were thinking about was actually nothing? See, when I accomplish this, ask yourself this question. What's next for me? This is the way a guy like Elon Musk thinks. This is the way Einstein thought. This is the way Oprah thinks. This is the way the players on this planet, alive and dead, thought. What am I doing that's not purpose-driven? What are you doing that does not fuel the purpose? And make a list of those things. What else are you capable of doing that you haven't yet done? See, now when I'm asking myself good, strong questions, I don't have time for why not. I'm asking why, what else? Okay. What have I always wanted to do that I forgot about, you know, when I was a kiddo? Are there things around me or people around me that are on the opposite page? Are there people around me or things around me that are on the same page? Are those around me on the identical same page I'm on? Who's encouraging me to live a life of purpose? Is there anybody saying, do it, man. Go crazy. You can do it. Do it. I know you can do it. I believe in you. Do you have a cheerleader? Or do you have people at your house saying, oh, you're always gone. You're ignoring me. You're never here for the kids. Who around me is not living a life of purpose? Because I guarantee you, if somebody at home is saying you're never there, maybe you're never there. So you guys need to figure out how to get each other there on the same page, doing the same thing, so obsessed with it that this thing becomes the thing that you guys are most excited about doing together. What can I do to help others achieve their purposes? What if you could not just help people, but help people do what you're doing? See, I talked earlier about writing my goals down on a daily basis. In addition to that, at least once a month, I sit down with a legal pad, a pen, to revisit my overall purposes. I'm writing down in the morning, I write it down at night, and then once a month, I sit down and revisit my purposes and match where I'm spending all my energy. And then I revisit my potential. What can I do? See, as I sit here and I talk to you about this right now, outside of reading the book to you, I'm like, man, I hadn't got to South America yet. I hadn't got to China yet. I mean, man, I haven't done anything yet. Okay. You think I did a bunch and I think I did nothing. You ask me, will you ever be satisfied? Well, I hope not. I hope not. I don't know how anyone would ever say you're satisfied. Okay. That's just a fancy word for I quit. I'm on the benches, baby. I'm in the seats. Okay. My game is over, dog. Okay. It was a good run. Well, good. You know, that's not me. And I don't think it's you. Who would pick up a book, be obsessed or be average? You thought this was for your wife? Or your husband? Look, I often do this with my wife as well. We sit down with the top executives in our company. Our company is our marriage. That is the first business, by the way. The other ones support the business of being together, having fun. She's on my page. I'm on her page. We're on her page. I'm Superman. She knows it. She says, fly, son, fly. Okay? You're a speeding bullet. You can jump higher than buildings. Okay? And you can fly. I came home one night and told her I had a bad day. She's like, what are you doing home? Why would you come home having a bad day? Why don't you stay at the office until it's a good day and then come home? That's a team player, okay? We don't get complacent. We don't want to be complacent. We don't want to be complacent with yesterday's victories. We want to keep our attention on the possibilities. Now, I can't express this enough, but your purposes will continue to grow, mature, and evolve as you do. And if they're not, that means you're not obsessed anymore. Regardless how big your dreams are, no matter how big they are, no matter what your accomplishments are, there are other possibilities within your potential, within your reach that will be revealed to you once you grab this. Those things that are out of reach today, okay, will look small tomorrow. The moment you stop looking toward the accomplishment of the next thing, the next level, is the moment you put yourself, your family, your dreams, and others at risk. I hope you'll continue to be obsessed, maniac-like, with always uncovering more of your potential. Because when you do that, you give me permission to do the same thing. As you take your last breath, I hope that you're like, what's the next thing, man? Obsession hacks. I've shared with you my philosophy of obsession. And hopefully I've made the case not only for why it's been the factor that changed my life, but also for how you can implement this mindset and these practices in your own life. Now, as I sit here this afternoon reading this to you, man, I'm tired. I got to tell you, I'm tired. Most people say, man, you tired, man? I said, I crank. I'm cranking harder today than when I was 35 years old. Some people think I look younger today at 58 than when I was 48. I don't know about that. You know, I look at me, I'm like, damn, you look tired, son. Okay. As we end here, I want to share with you some ultimate final tips on how to keep living and working toward your obsession. Most importantly, I want you to get permission. Like if I could just create a, you know, millions of people running around saying, dude, I'm obsessed. And I gave myself permission for being obsessed. If you could give other entrepreneurs permission, if marriages could give one another permission, be obsessed with greatness. The marriage would get greater. The parents would be better. The communities would improve. Politicians would not be able to literally survive in the environment because great people would not put up with them. So reach up for new friends now, okay? You got to find people around you that are exceptional. Quit settling with familiar people. Nothing inspires me more than surrounding myself with people who have achieved more than I have and then meeting new people. I'm like, dude, what do you do? What are you about? Where do y'all go? What do you drink? What do you eat? What's fun? I learn from them. Whatever you have to do to make new friends or study from new friends or read the books of new friends and make new connections, just make sure of this one thing. Reach up, not sideways and not down. It's too easy. Don't talk to the person you're familiar with. Okay. You don't need to neglect them. You need to go meet the person you don't know yet. You need to go meet the guy with the jet or the guy with the three jets, the guy that went public, the gal that went public, the people that break through. The guys with the gold medals, don't just be friends with the banker in your town. Make sure you know the most successful banker in your town, the most successful lawyer, the most successful insurance guy, the most successful business person, the politically connected. Meet them all, know them all, and make sure they know you. Give them money if you have to. Give them favors. Give them influence. And then keep reaching up. And maybe you discarded them. That's right. I said it. I said the discard word. If you discard somebody, it's not your fault. It's their fault. They didn't keep reaching up. Know the woman who's called the most successful realtor in your city, or the guy your city newspaper calls the entrepreneur of the year. Know them. Reach out to them. These are the people who you must network with, and then reach outside your city. Also, leave your home. Join new clubs. Get involved with charities. Make the time to get connected. Get to them at levels that make others take notice. Easiest way to get known in a city is like, here, for your charity. Attend events where power collects. I was recently at a JP Morgan event conference here in Miami. The net worth in the room was over $0.25 trillion. Yeah, I said that right. 0.25 T-bill. I knew I was in the right room. Doesn't mean they're right. I knew I was in the right room for me. Just being there over lunch opened me up to possibilities and fueled my obsessions. See, it's easy to hang with the same people and justify it. It's harder to get in a room with Jamie Dimon. The people you're with, they're like family. They know you. You're a big fish in a small pond, as they say. I got Billy out there. Billy's a fish. He's in a little bowl. It's a bowl. It's not even a tank. He's a prisoner. He's familiar. Oh, Billy, how's Billy doing? Billy ain't doing nothing. Billy's trapped. I know so many people just like Billy. Billy, little fish like this, swims round, round, and round. And they make sense of it, too. You know the difference between Billy and a person? Billy ain't making sense of it. People do. I'm staying home from mama. Yeah, I'm fine. We all good. I like it here. You like it there because you've never been anywhere else. Okay? I know that's hard, man. You're like, man, this guy's hard on me. Dude, look. Be obsessed or be average. Tell the truth. Did you get comfortable? I'm not the only one that gets bored. I know that. Okay. You get bored. You get bored. You know why you're getting bored? Because you got the same people at your level or below you telling you the same old stories. You know the end of the story before they tell it. Now you bored with the story. You bored with the game. You bored with the faces. You bored. Vacation abundance. You read about my problem with the way most people take vacations, you know, those little tiny vacations. So you might think I'm totally against vacations, but I'm not. Actually, when I finish this reading, I'm going to St. Bart's for 2 or 3 weeks. I might stay for 4 weeks. First vacation I've taken in 12 years. So if you're going to go on a vacation, here's what I want you to do, okay? Obsess on it and then overdose on it. I'm talking about IV drip both arms in between your toes. Just needle up. Take you a big ass vacation. Take it big. Take it better. Okay. Go first class. Go for a long, spectacular trip. Stay in the best hotels or rent some villa somewhere. Fly first class or better yet. Eat at the best restaurants. Spare nothing. Treat yourself like royalty. Spare no expense at all. Blow it, man. Make it something freaking enormous. If you can't afford to do it first class, if you can't afford to do it the way I'm telling you, if you can't afford to do it for an extended time, you ain't ready to go. I'm sorry. You ain't paid the price yet. Because vacations are also an opportunity to grow yourself, your business, and your network. That vacation, when done right, should expand the individual. Like, you need to be at places where the obsessed gather. And sorry, but if your hotel, if your decision to book that hotel was because of free breakfast, that's not the place you should be. I'm just keeping it real with you. Okay. You need somebody to tell you the truth, don't you? Look, Elaine and I were recently rewarded with a trip. We took a trip to Paris. Okay. Kids went to Paris, Barcelona right after that, and a speaking tour through Eastern Europe. I don't know that I would have gone on the trip. You know, I just did a weekend. It was a quickie, right? I'm going to Eastern Europe. We're going to be in Bulgaria. And on the way home, we pop into Barcelona. But we did it right. We put ourselves in a position. Now, I said I hadn't been on a vacation only in 12 years. Everywhere I've gone in the last 12 years, if I added one or two days, okay, I did that. But it was always because I was going someplace to work. We did it right, though. And we put ourselves in a position to not only enjoy ourselves, but also make valuable connections while we're there. We stayed at the best places, ate at the best restaurants, and gave ourselves a chance to refuel, reboot, and overdose a little bit, okay, while we were there. And also to extend our obsession by the connections we made. Mentor up. Can you mentor up? Mentor up. Coach up. Find a coach you can't outgrow. Look, if it's worth it to work with a coach or someone who can take you to another level, do it. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars a year buying someone else's time or expertise to help me reveal my next level or to get rid of the stuff that was in my way and push me, sometimes not even push me, just by getting rid of the junk, sometimes, boom, I get my full potential. At this time, I have two coaches in my life. One whose job is to get me more connected with other big players, and the other is to locate and find my blind spots in my career and life. Okay. If you want more information on who I'm using, reach out to me, gc@grantcardone.com, put in mentor. Or what does Grant do for a mentor? I need, the obsessed must surround themselves with people you trust and respect who think big, who've done bigger than you, and who can help you get to where you want to go. Sometimes that's something you need to do. Sometimes that's something you need to get rid of. You think you can run only so fast? Let me get a stopwatch out and time you. I bet you I get another second from you. Okay, let me get somebody on the side with a watch cheerleading you. Say, come on, come on, come on, and giving you a reward. Watch you go faster. A coach can help you. A mentor can help you. Books can help you. Conventions, conferences can help you. Get around people that are flying like this. It'll help you. Look, fact is, it can't hurt you to have someone. It can't hurt you to have someone else pulling for you, rooting for you, guiding you, directing you, flying you. My mentors and coaches have been invaluable to me. I would never want the money back. Shop outside your reach, outside your reach. Start looking at things you can't afford yet. I've been shopping for homes and toys outside my price range my entire life. I have one car today. Okay. My wife's got one car. I got a car. It's no big deal. I'm not a big car guy, but I still look at them. I look at the watches, the cars, the houses. I don't spend a lot of money on toys, but I look because they inspire me. Right now, I'm looking at a $40 million house in Coral Gate. Beautiful home. I'm like, oh, that'd be sick. That'd be crazy. That'd be stupid. That'd be ridiculous. But I look at it. It tempts me. What did that guy do to get that freaking palace, man? What's he paying in state taxes? Just the thought expands. I got my buddy that's got three of these, right? One of them, my jet will fit inside of one of his. Damn, that's strong. Look at it, smell it, touch it, feel it. I'm looking at a $280 million apartment deal in Miami right now. Whoa, that's big. I'm looking at a new Gulfstream for $65 or $70 million. Whoa, changes my thinking. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it. I'm not going to buy any of this stuff. I tell you right now, maybe the apartments, but nothing else. Okay. But it expands the thinking. It keeps me juiced. It keeps me excited. At 25 years of age, not too long ago, doesn't feel like it was that long ago, I was living in a place that cost $275 a month, and I was late on the rent almost every month. Ever since then, when I turned my life around at 25, or started turning around, to the best of my ability, ever since then, I have been shopping for luxury homes, cars, watches, amenities, way, way, way outside my financial reach. When I lived in Houston, I looked at homes in River Oaks. When I lived in Los Angeles, I looked in Beverly Hills. I was always looking beyond what I could pay for. Didn't mean I bought any of it, by the way. When we moved to Miami, I continued the same hack. I look at $200 million yachts. There's no way in hell I would ever buy one. But in case you got one, let me know. I'll be there tomorrow. No intention of buying them. Just allowing my mind to be blown. The obsessed all have their minds blown. You understand, the obsessed all lose their mind. To be obsessed, to stay obsessed, you must lose your mind. Lose your mind. Maybe it seems silly, immature little game that I shop for things I can't afford or never pay for. You need to lose your mind. Invest in education. If I've done one thing right in my career, maybe two things, I never quit and I continue to educate myself. I spent 17 years between elementary school, high school, and college. All of which, by the way, I hated. Detested with every, like, literally, I get a little bit of a puke in my stomach, a bad taste in my mouth right now when I think about college and high school. Ever since the age of 25, I have continued to educate myself. When I was 25 years old, I bought a $3,000 learning program to become a sales professional. That thing has made me, I don't even know how much money, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. That commitment I made at 25 to become a professional salesperson and give $3,000 for a program. That's like $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 today. See, I know people that hadn't invested $30 in themselves. I know bartenders that have invested more money in their license to flip a margarita than business people have in learning how to run, operate, and grow a business. That decision at $3,000 at 25 years old was really responsible for my first business, my second business, my third business, my fourth business, my fifth business, for this plane and for me talking to you today. Had it not been for that decision, spend money to get educated, to educate me on what I wanted to learn. Today, I still spend about 10% of my time and my money on training programs for myself, not for my staff, for me and myself. I don't send my people off to a training program. I go, okay? I need the training. I need the education. I need the book. I need the conference. I need the coach. And if they do it themselves, good for them. It might seem, and if they don't do it, they probably won't be here very long. It might seem like a lot to invest 36 days of a year and 10% of my income making myself better, but I don't think so. It's like my billionaire buddy said, hey, what's fuel in the bird cost? I said, I don't know. I never figured it. Bob. He's like, why not? Because the plane's no good without fuel. You're no good without an education. Okay. And I'm not talking about that college education. I'm talking about the real life education. I'm talking about learning from people that are dead and alive that can teach you the real hacks. See, I think education's worth it. Not the education you know, that classroom education. I'm talking about real life education from real people who have really done big, giant, monster things. That's why I say reach up. And by the way, I'm worth the 10%. I'm worth it. Every time I read anything, I get inspired. Even the wrong things inspire me. See, I refuse to be stupid anymore. I refuse to be that dummy in the gym. You know the dummy you punch on? I refuse to be that guy. Every time I walk in a gym and I see one of those dummies that you punch on, I'm like, yeah, I used to be him when I thought too small. I was him with $1 million in a bank account. I was him when I was getting on American Airlines because I didn't want to spend the money. Dummy. Cussing at TSA, waiting in line, angry at American. I was a dummy because I hadn't done that. Now you got to figure out where you're dumb in your life because I refuse to make excuses anymore. I refuse to make sense of not having time and being too busy. The obsessed figure out how to create time and how to do more. You know, there's an old saying, you want to find out who can do it, find somebody busy and give them the job. The best make time to ensure they continue to be the best. I make time for my wife and my kids and the book reading and the audio and the workout and my health and the vacation. A man told me recently, he's like, man, I never see you at the golf club anymore, dude. I said, dude, I never see you at the bank either. I hadn't seen you on TV lately and I hadn't heard about you on the radio. So many places I'm at, I don't see you. I was on Steve Harvey's show the other day. I didn't see you there because you're on the golf course. Chasing around a little white ball. Well, maybe I need to spend more time playing golf, but I'm more obsessed with these other things than I am the little white ball. Regardless of how well you do in life or business, I know you and I, no matter how smart we are, how much we know, how much money we have, I know you and I can always learn more. Most people don't make time for learning because their previous educational experiences were such a waste of time. Education has a totally different outcome when you choose what you're learning. And when you know you need to learn to improve, when you're open-minded, when you're curious, and remember, time is no longer an excuse because the obsessed make time. They don't make excuses. Paying attention to your physical health. As important as it is to keep my mind sharp, I also believe that I need to be in good physical shape and health in order to achieve my potential. Look, you can't be obsessed if you're overweight. Being obsessed with chocolate chip cookies is not the kind of obsessions we've been talking about, right? If you can't be obsessed, I'm going to tell you, if you're overweight, you're out of shape, it is because you're obsessed with something incorrect, something short of your full potential. Because when you tap into the obsession of your full potential and full possibility, you're going to get yourself in shape. You're overweight. You don't have any energy. Your body hurts all the time. You can't stay focused on the game. You can't expand, blow up. Okay. You spend too much time in a chair. Whatever you have to do to fix that, fix it. That said, I'm not good at working out. Just for the sake of working out, I don't work out. I'm not trying to build muscle right now, but you give me short windows with specific targets and I get excited about getting myself back in shape again. I've been overweight. Okay. I'm not as in good a shape as I'd like to be today, but I can hit little certain numbers in short periods of time. So reps, pounds lifted, just in a short period of time. Maybe something I want to lose, trim up, fix up. I'm an immediate gratification guy. All obsessed people are. The obsessed want it right now. Why not? Okay. I want it big. I'm never satisfied. Okay. Well, then don't be satisfied. Quit saying you're never satisfied while you're overweight. Come on, it doesn't make sense. I am only so tall. I can't change that. Maybe I could change it by a quarter of an inch. But I don't have to be too thick. You know what I'm saying? Control what you can control. Don't be a control freak at the office, a control freak at home, and then not have control of your body. Doesn't make any sense. Just keeping it real. Be charitable. Look, one of the reasons I push so hard in my real estate business, my consulting company, the books, audio programs, crazy motivational merchandise that we do, speaking, traveling around. The reason I do it, I like to give money away. I give a lot of money to charity. My friends, Forbes 400 CEO Bob Duggan, great dude, great, unbelievable guy, said to me, Grant, giving money to charity is not giving money. It's not a donation. It's not a contribution. It is an investment. I'm like, man, I never thought about it like that. You can get more money, Grant. Giving money to charity is an investment, not a contribution, not a donation. And this year, I've given almost 30% of my gross income to charity. 30% of my gross total taken in. Okay, think what that number could be. Last year, I raised $100 million, not the money I gave. I raised $100 million. I found other people with money, charitable. Some of them flying planes, some of them renting planes, some of them still flying commercial. Some of them have jobs. Some of them own the company. Some of them have big salaries, little salaries. We raised a bunch of money. Being charitable is not limited to giving money, by the way. Just be charitable. And why couldn't you do it charitable everywhere? Pat on the back. Great job. Little handwritten card. Little mentoring. Time, energy, intelligence, inspiration. Pat on the back. You name it. It's all contributions. It's an investment in what? I was speaking to Ashley Furniture just the other day, as I told you earlier. There was 450 people in the room and they're, yay, Grant's here. And they got my face up on little sticks and it's unbelievable. They got t-shirts with my name on it. And I'm like, you know what? As much as you guys appreciate me being here, I'm going to tell you right now, it's 450 people in this room. Nobody will walk out of this presentation taking away more than I will. I get more from giving than they get from taking. I speak to high schools, colleges, churches of any faith, by the way. Okay. Any faith. I talk to the military as much as possible. I recently spoke to a church, a congregation about the importance of financial literacy and financial solvency to the congregation and the importance of spirituality and financial. Look for problems. Look for problems on this planet, in your neighborhood, in your city, in your state. Look for problems and help solve them. They're going to fuel your obsession. I'm telling you, they do everything. It connects you with the right people. I'm super passionate about getting the truth about drugs out, okay? Not just street drugs, but mostly prescription drugs. America has more prescription drugs than any country on planet Earth. I use my time. I'm passionate about this. Why? Because I was put on drugs when I was 23 years old. I'm talking about when I'm trying to get off drugs, they put me on drugs again, okay? When I'm 25 and I go to the treatment center, they put me on more drugs. So today I use my time. I know how powerfully damaging both street drugs and prescription drugs are. So I use my time today, my energy, my influence, my platform to increase awareness about this prescription epidemic in our country. I work with groups like Citizens Commission on Human Rights to raise that awareness that people are being overprescribed. Kids are being Ritalined up and killed off, lithiumed to death. So give back. Figure out a problem in your community. You know, when the police got been getting hammered in the media recently, I'm like, okay, I'll go do something for the police. I do a deal in Daytona for the police. When inner city kids in Baltimore, and it doesn't have to be political, in Baltimore and Chicago are getting destroyed in Detroit every day, I'm like, hey, let's send books into Detroit, into inner city Baltimore. They can't read? Okay, let's send them video and audio programs. The Millionaire Booklet. I wrote the Millionaire Booklet for kids because kids want to know how to get money, and the book doesn't have to be thick and big. So figure out, what can you do? How can you get obsessed with giving back, investing in your community? It will ultimately fuel your obsessions. Here's the deal. Okay, this is it. We're coming to the end, dog. Look, you got to do more than read this book. This isn't about reading this book. You get to the end of it. Yeah. I got it. Okay. You can read this book or any business book, okay? You can read this book, any business book, and you can get excited for a moment. But being obsessed is not a small idea. This is not a small idea. If you close this book right now and said, yeah, the guy said to be obsessed or be average, you didn't get it. This is about becoming obsessed, permission to be obsessed. This is not a weekend conference. You're not walking on fire here, bending arrows or breaking boards, okay? Those are great little things to do. It's temporary, though. Like most books are temporary. They get a little goose. Do a class on this, okay? Obsession, everybody needs it. Your friends, your family, your congregation, okay? Your community, they have to get re-obsessed. Take the leadership role. Take control of your community and say, I'm going to teach this obsession thing to everybody in my community. We are going to give permission to planet Earth to go from being average to freaking crazies. You're being given permission, maybe for the first time in your life, okay, to go all in right now. I know everybody around you has been telling you, back off, put a governor on it, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. I'm telling you, go all in and be a freak. Go for broke. To sustain healthy, voluntary obsessions, feed the good ones. To have it all and do great thing requires more than a book. It requires tremendous commitment. It requires clarity, confidence, sacrifice, and persistence, and a willingness to be in the minority, even to be unpopular, even to be criticized, even to be hated on. Look, no matter what's going on in the outside world, with the media, the politics, your obsession will have to continue to fuel you long after your disappointments, and even long after the successes. See, it's a funny thing, you know, successes can kill a person as much as the disappointments. Guy reaches something, some gold medal, some amount of money, some notoriety or celebrity, and the next thing you know, it goes straight down. Obsession will allow you to keep pressing forward to the next thing. Day after day, week after week, quarter after quarter, year after year, obsessions can continue to fuel you. Use this book to undo the average thinking. Use this program, this MP3. If you have the book, get the audio. If you have the audio, get the book. Use this to undo, strip away, brainwash, means to wash the brain of average thinking of those you live with, those you work with, and even your customers. You have customers actually telling you to back off. You're doing too much. You're working too hard. Okay? Your entire environment needs a good brainwashing. Because look, here's the deal. When you go out, when you finally come out of the closet, underneath the bed, out of your house, out of making sense of what you've been doing, when you become seriously resolved at being obsessed and clarifying your obsessions, it will be vital to get around those who can support you. Your partner might want the white picket fence and the golden retriever and might want you home at 5. To watch the weekend television marathons and may talk constantly about, can't we just be happy? You got to handle that. That is a big problem. Number one question I get asked, man, how do I get my partner on the same page? Getting your partner on the same page on the road to obsession is tough. But if you don't attempt it, if you don't confront it, if you don't talk about it, if you don't take control of it, if you don't tell him or her, hey, this is where we're going. See, when I got with my wife, I told her this, I'll do anything for you except one thing. One thing, there's only one thing I cannot do for you. Anything else, I will never deny you. She's like, what's that? I will not give up on my dreams, ever. I believe if I abandon my dreams, I will abandon you. If you ever want me to abandon my dreams, If you want me to ever water my dreams down, if you ever decide you are more important than my dreams, I will have to give you up. Look, it requires obsession, your life, your potential. We're talking about everything here. This is a big payday. This isn't about planes and houses. This is everything. This is how you're going to live your life. This is what on your dying day, man, when that body of yours is like doing that whole thing, that fish thing, the flopping thing it does at the end, you know, when it's doing that last thing and you're still hanging on, dude, what's going to matter? What's going to matter is how you live your life. Okay. It's not going to be all the little stuff. It's not going to be the money you have. It's not going to be the book you wrote. It's going to be, what did you do with this moment, with this time, with that dash between the start and the finish of that body? Okay. This may be the biggest challenge of your life. Is to become obsessed, stay obsessed